Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. Dump Truck, how are you, man?
I am sleepy. I just woke up, Well, my wife was snoring, so I woke up about an hour ago, actually.
You know, I'm sleepy, too. And you know why?
No. What? What's up?
Because we had a little baby. That's pretty much it. Yep. You might have to deal with some snoring, but I got to deal with like staying up till 2 or 3 in the morning because we had a baby a few weeks ago, which is why I haven't been on the podcast. It's been an interesting experience, to say the least, for sure.
Well, I want to congratulate you publicly. We've talked offline, but congratulations. It's, you know, like I always say, it's best time of your life. This is going to be great. A little, get to raise your little Quaker of your own. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. It's been interesting. Like we were talking about a little bit earlier before the show started. It's one of those things where I've talked to a lot of men, and a lot of men have said, you know, when they had kids that they, it was kind of like a horror story. They're like, oh, you never sleep. And, you know, dealing with the diapers and watching the baby come out is just like, it's this horrific thing, you know? I don't know. Like, it's all been a pretty, besides the sleep stuff, it's been a pretty positive experience for me.
Yeah. You're lucky.
That probably is the case.
All I can say is that, if anybody out there listening to this, can imagine a hand grenade going off between a lady's legs, that's basically what you're in for.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Every guy like over embellishes like what happens and what goes wrong. Don't get me wrong. There are situations where I've heard horror stories, like even in the hospital, nurses talking about some of the things that have happened to people. But generally, they're like, on average, most people walk out of here, everything's cool, you know? And, yeah, it just makes me laugh, though, because I've heard some of the things that I've heard like older men talk about. I really think they're just saying these things to scare people, you know,
or they're just lying and they were out in the waiting room being pussies about it.
Like, I think that's it.
My dad wasn't at either one of my sister's birth or mine. They, you know, they did the whole like cigar thing, like waiting in the hallway. But here's a nerd thing for some nerds out there. I'm a Trekkie, you know, I like Star Trek. And when my oldest sister was being born, she was born in 59. She, in the waiting room, my dad was with Jeffrey Hunter, the actor, and he played the first captain on the pilot for Star Trek. And then if I recall correctly, he either fell ill or passed away. He died very young. And that's one of the reasons why he wasn't on Star Trek. He was kind of the first captain, and then they brought in William Shatner. But anyway, my dad was in the waiting room with Jeffrey Hunter, and they were both having kids. And that was a big story when my sister was born.
Wow. How weird is that, huh?
Nothing about my mom, you know, bringing a life into the world. It's all about Jeffrey Hunter.
Yeah, great, Mom. But the guy from Star Trek is here. So
exactly.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it's been quite an experience. I mean, it's been positive. I've definitely had my nights already where like I'm just like, dude, you need to sleep, and he's just like, nope, I'm gonna keep rolling around. I'm gonna keep, you know, pooping. I'm gonna keep doing this, doing that. And I'm like, it gets frustrating. But day to day, like I've gotten a few weeks off of work, which is great. They gave me some parental leave time. You know, it's been really interesting to see him change day to day. It's sort of been like, you know, you remember The Fly with Jeff Goldblum? He's
like, oh God,
taking notes, and he's like, oh yeah, Brundle Fly and all that. Yeah.
God damn. That wasn't what I was expecting you to say, but yes.
That's what it is. Taking mental notes of like, oh, now he's rolling over. Oh, now he's doing this. Oh, okay. Now he's spitting up way more. You know, it's that kind of thing. So
Is he smiling and focusing on you and like,
No, not at all. Like, he smiles, but it's all by accident, you know.
Okay. He's still kind of going, wait, I have lips. I have a mouth. Totally. What are these muscles?
He you can tell like he wants the bottle real bad. Like he'll do the lip thing like, oh, I want to eat. And then you put the bottle in front of his mouth and he doesn't quite see it. He's still like looking over to the right. And I'm like,
dude, are you blind?
What's happening? Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, Father, I am. No, because it takes a while for them to develop. I'm not saying this is normal. This is like he's a baby bird. He can't see very well. He's like, where am I? Oh,
totally. Yeah. It makes you think though, because there's so many other species that have, you know, children and babies and stuff. And it's like when they come out, they could, like, you know, like a deer, for instance, or a giraffe or a horse. Once they pop it out, within 10 minutes, it's walking, you know?
Right.
And we have kids and they can't do anything. They come out and they just cry. That's it. They can't do anything else. It's like, man, how did we become like this dominant species on the planet? You know,
I've thought of that many, many times. And that's what I was going to say when you were talking about, you know, the ladies giving birth and everything and how, you know, things were just like, oh, okay, your kids here, go. But just think about how many people are born every day around the world and not good circumstances. God, I mean, it's a miracle that we even survived, you know, what, the 1800s here, you know, with no penicillin, no, you know, antibiotics, any, all that stuff. It's just insane.
It is.
But that's why those people had like 45 children. You know,
cause oh, I know. You know, yeah.
It's like, cause well, a little Scooter didn't make it. Sorry, buddy. But at least we have Sally and Joey.
Yeah. You got Sally and Joey left from the 45. The others all perished. Right. But me and my wife were just talking about that though. Even today, you know, there's third world countries who, you know, they'll have babies. And I'm like, how, cause in America here, it's baby worship. It's like, you got to make sure baby's tucked in just right. You got to make sure he's swaddled and you got to make sure you do this and do that. There's so many rules and there's a lot of bad advice out there too, that actually isn't true for babies. But we were just talking about, man, can you imagine having a baby in a third world country in 2019 and how different it would be from having a baby here in America where there's all this baby worship, you know? It's like, how do the babies survive over there without all this stuff you were just talking about? It's crazy.
It's nuts. I will say, yeah. I did hear, I think it was a TED talk or something about, it was on a TED talk and this lady said, we can cut infant mortality rates worldwide in half by doing one thing. And I'm, you know, on the edge of my seat, or I was actually walking when I heard it, but I was just, you know, that pricked up my ears. And basically,
yes,
yeah, no, yeah, let's hear it. No, let's hear it.
My guess is stop having them. Is that it?
No.
Oh, okay.
That would be really simple, wouldn't it? It'd be like, yeah, no baby deaths, no babies.
There you go.
Yeah. No, basically washing your hands.
Huh.
Because, you know, they don't have the personal hygiene standards that we do in the Western world or in the rest of the world, I should say.
Right, right.
And so they're just not in the habit of washing their hands, and that's how babies get diarrhea and that's how babies die, is, you know, basically that kind of stuff. So, hey, happy conversation as always with Dump Truck.
Right. Dump Truck, that's how babies die. Now, kids, if you'll follow me over here.
Yeah, well, it's like a Prince song, except for without. That's how doves cry.
Oh, man.
Do, 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 do. Okay, sorry.
Poor babies. Yeah, it's crazy. Actually, you know, talking about the washing hands thing, I can vouch for that because I'm a pretty... As far as men go, I would say I'm pretty clean. Like, I try to wash my hands after I use the bathroom and all that. But where I work in an office, and I still have a lot of men who do, they'll use the bathroom, come in and just walk out. And that just grosses me out. Cause I'm like, man, like, if someone ever comes to your computer and they got to like type something on your keyboard or help you with something, it's like all of your gross poo germs are on your hands. It's just like,
You said poo germs.
Poo germs.
Oh, God. Well.
But anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you, man. I hear you. We could go on and on about all this stuff.
We certainly could. I don't know if people tuned in to hear this, but.
I am basically still in the sixth grade, so we could talk about this all day. Oh, hey, speaking of which, this has nothing to do with Quake, but I'm going to tell you right now, and everyone listening, if you get a chance, see the movie Good Boys. I saw the trailer. I don't even remember what movie I was seeing, and it just caught me off guard because I had never heard of the movie. And I was literally crying during the trailer. It was a Red Band trailer.
Yeah, it looked hilarious. We haven't seen it, but it looked so funny.
And, you know, so that's sort of what I've cut trailers before, and I do TV promos now, but so I kind of know how it works. And I just thought to myself, if there's that many jokes in the 2.5 minutes, this is a winner. And so I took my wife the other day to see it, and we were howling. It's very funny. It's one of those movies you sit, you're walking, doing the dishes or whatever, you can think of the scene, you start laughing out loud. It's not like, you know, I don't think it's going to go down as a classic, but man, we were howling. So I hope they do.
It's interesting. That would be great if they did a sequel. Cause I can't wait to see it and hear from you that it's that funny. Like it already looked funny. So I'm like, all right, great. This is definitely on my list of movies to see. But yeah, when in the trailer they mentioned like something like, oh, from the guys who brought you Superbad or something like that, right?
Yeah, Superbad. And then the supermarket one with the weenies. I never saw that one. the hot dogs.
Yeah, I never saw that either. When they said Superbad, I was like, oh, yeah, that was a movie. So I think this movie will probably be in the same boat like 10 years later. Be like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a treat. So, you know, if you guys I'm sure it'll be on Netflix or what have you soon. So and then people are like, I'm downloading it right now.
In another non sequitur piece of conversation. Yeah. Have you ever done that where you see like an actor nowadays and they're in like, say, for example, let's use like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, where he's been in some really good stuff, you know, mm-hmm. And you think back to like, oh, right, he was on Third Rock from the Sun. Remember that? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's real weird. Michael J. Fox was like that, too. I was like, oh, yeah, he was on Growing Pains or whatever it was. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. None of this has been Quake at all. I'm sure everybody tuned in to hear about babies and actor things and
and hand grenades.
And hand grenades. We did talk about baby death. I'm sure everybody would appreciate that.
That's on. Oh, that's on the mark, right? I mean, and you know, you know, if you if you give him some plum, some plums when he's eating, then you'll see a spawn in the diaper shortly thereafter.
Oh,
isn't that disgusting?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see that at all. I might run out of the house screaming. So yeah, guys, I don't think you really tuned in to hear about baby stuff and all this and that and whatever else, but it is what's going on in my life, and it's what's been keeping me from doing the Quakecast with Dump Truck here. But we wanted to do like a quick episode here where we'll talk about some of the recent releases with Quake, but also wanted to announce that I will be taking, and Dump Truck probably already talked about this a couple episodes ago, with me having the kid and everything, I'm going to be taking a bit of a break from the podcast, but I wanted to at least come on for a short episode here just to let you guys know what was going on, that, you know, I'm not leaving. It's not a permanent thing, but it is a temporary leave of absence just because I've already got my slip into Dump Truck and everything. He signed it. Everything's approved. and this is just something that has to happen with the baby and everything, because it's been great. I've had some parental leave, and having parental leave with the baby's been awesome. I've had a little bit more time to myself and been able to get, you know, some videos up on my channel. But when it comes to the Quakecast and it comes to YouTube, that stuff is going to be almost non-existent here coming up, because I'm going to be starting work and I'm going to have to deal with the baby after work, and it's going to be quite an experience for me. So I'm just kind of like, you know, preparing everybody to let them know, hey, might be a little while, won't be forever, but Dump Truck, I think you plan to kind of keep things going here and there. Like, what is your plan with that?
Yeah, right now my schedule's been kind of wonky. I've had a lot of family stuff and work stuff, and so it's been, you know, steady, but I've had to kind of juggle quite a few things. So what I'm thinking is we're gonna have episodes every 2 weeks, and we'll try to bank some, we'll try to, you know, stack them like you and I've done. But we will have regular episodes, but it just might be every 2 weeks, or it might be once a month at the worst. I think I'm going into a phase in work where my schedule will kind of solidify and I'll be able to have a more regular cadence. But let's put it this way. Every other week, hopefully, that's what we're looking for. But, you know, it might be less, it might be more. All right. Well, okay. So let's catch some people up on Quake. So here's a beautiful thing. You know, you kind of look back. It's not the end of the year yet, but we're kind of, it's on the horizon there. And you look at this year in Quake, and there have been so many things going on. And then just
so much.
Yeah. And then just this last few months, I'd say 2 or 3 months, the output of the mapping community has been insane. And so much so that, you know, Pulsar and I were talking last week about how, you know, you just can't keep up. If you blink and you walk away for a second, you see this new map pack come in, and you know, with, I don't know, like copper, not copper, but that was one big release. But when the 199 came out, which was, or no, I'm sorry, Coffee Quake. Hello, that's what I was thinking. When Coffee Quake came out, I think it was like 80 some odd maps. Have you played? Have you? You haven't played that yet, have you?
I have been taking a break from Quake, so
yeah, no. It's like 80 maps or something.
Jeez,
I can't remember. I'm gonna look it up, but. But yeah, but there's also some really high quality things. And, in fact, after the podcast, I got to do later today, I've got to do the, screenshot of the week, because we have so many screenshots on the Quake mapping Discord. There's so many screenshots, that I'm going to do like the screenshot of the week, you know, competition, because there's just
screenshot of the week. Yeah, here's your screenshot.
But yeah, it's fun to see all the work that people are doing. And, let's see, Sewer Jam is probably will be, well, it'll definitely be out by the time people are hearing this. Let's see, there's, what is that? 8 maps, looks like, maybe more. And then there's Halloween Jams right around the corner. There's just, the hits keep going coming.
It's just crazy. People I always see people chatting about, like, you know, especially during E3 times and stuff. They're like, oh, is Bethesda going to announce a new Quake remake? And I was like, what do you care? We got all these maps coming out. We don't need it. Yeah,
honestly, you know, and then also you guys were talking to MFX, and it sounds like Arcane Dimensions, whatever 2.0, 1.8 or whatever it's going to be, is well on its way. So that's something to look forward to. So if SOC kind of follows tradition, we should see some Arcane Dimensions around Christmas, maybe sometimes. Yeah. I know some of the releases have been in December. So we've got all kinds of things to look forward to. And Quake's not going away. We're not going away and all that jazz. But I think one of the highlights for me for this year is just kind of, you know, hanging with you and doing the Quake cast. I mean, that's for me, it's been a real pleasure. So
likewise, man. It's been a ton of fun.
This isn't goodbye by any means.
No, it really isn't. It's more of like, hey, guys, we'll see you in a bit, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, though, the Quake hits just keep coming. Like, even today, as of us recording this, there is now a new VR mapping project pack that's been released.
Yeah, is that it's been the HUH one? Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Let's see. It's because, gosh, it's already September 1st. Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, this was done on 4chan, I think. After release of Coffee Challenge was proposed in the depths of VR /VR.
And it says like, these are all new mappers or first time mappers. So please be gentle. But yeah, I don't recognize even one name from the people involved, which is cool.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, I hate these mega New Zealand files. I'm just going to click on it and hope for the best here.
hope for the best.
Yeah, maybe I'll... Yeah, let me download this thing from Russia. No, just kidding.
Yeah, you let us know how that goes.
It's like kaboom. And the zip is called Huh. Yeah, they're noobs, that's for sure. It's Huh Zip, H-U-H. I think, you know, while people listen to me download things.
Speedmap Pack 200 came out. It's a big chain map thing, which I'm looking forward to checking out because there's a lot of great names involved with it.
Yeah, there's some solid people for sure.
Yeah. And it looks like there's 4 chain maps altogether, which I love seeing that stuff because I love seeing, you know, where you could see the joint between like one person's work and the next person's work, where you're like, can I tell if, you know, someone else took over at this point, or can I not tell? You know, did they work well together? Did they not? You know, that stuff is pretty fun.
Yeah, that's one of those things where I wish I could coordinate getting both mappers and talking about, you know, collaborating. Maybe we'll do that. You know, hey, listen, you guys, if you're involved in a chain map, maybe we'll make this happen. Let's see. Who we got Fairweather, we have Ines, JCR could come in and talk about it. Mugwump.
There you go, yeah. Pinchy. Friend of the show.
I want to get Pinchy on here for sure. This is an open call right now, dude. Because I think Pinchy has the record right now. I could be wrong, but I think he's got the record for the most maps of the year, probably floating around 20 maps. So
whenever I play through his maps on my channel, he'll comment, but he always just leaves like a little like lobster or crab emote little guy.
Whoa.
Never says like, oh, hey, thanks for playing it. He just leaves a little creature.
Those are his pinchers. He's pinching. Yeah. He's pinching you.
He pinched.
Anyway, a lot of great mappers, a lot of great people that are dedicated to the community. You know, the Speedmap 200 was kind of evolved from like this streaming thing. And I know they did a lot of streaming. I literally didn't get a chance to see any of them because of work and just the time when they were on. So I don't know if those are archived, but I know the plan originally was to stream mapping and kind of have people tune in and watch them actually create the map. So I know they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it the way they wanted to, but obviously the project ended up, you know, working out. So yeah, that one's high on my list. I just played something just, you know, kind of a little kind of shout out to, Ubiquitous, who's a mapper and he does textures and coding and, everything. He did a, and then Lisa, I can mess up. I'm going to butcher the name, but it's, of three plantagenets. I think of three plantagenets. Yes.
What's a plantagenet?
I had to do a Wikipedia on this. It is a kind of a royal family in France. I didn't really read past that. This is royal family, France, history, some kind of powerful family, some probably akin to the people in Italy. I am freaking old. Do you understand how old my brain is? And it's like, it's literally.
It's right on the tip of my tongue, though.
Yes, it is amazing. I did play it because it uses the dev kit that I did, and he added stuff to it. And I wanted to sit down and play the whole thing all the way through, so it took me a couple of days to kind of clear my plate. And I played it day before yesterday and just had a blast. It's really cool. The cool thing is he did what I was hoping people would do, is he took the dev kit, used all the features, but then added his own stuff to it. So he added, I don't want to, no spoilers, but he added some cool monsters and things that are like, oh, hey, who's this? This is cool. You know, really fun levels, really huge sprawling levels, but they circle back on themselves and a lot of backtracking, but not in a bad way. You know, good, the best kind of backtracking where you're in a place and like, hey, I remember being down there. And then, like I say, he used the progs to, it feels like Quake, but it just has this little extra, which is exactly what I was going for. So really happy to pimp that one. And that's kind of a must play in my opinion. It's really fun. He also has these classic works of art in the first level where, you know, you walk into this room and it's a Caravaggio or whoever, whatever, you know, painting. Right. And it seems like it wouldn't work, but the way he did it, he did it really well. So everybody needs to check that one out.
That's really cool. One of the other things I saw on Funk too, is that I guess there's a level design contest going on for, what is it, a Quake map that's inspired by Prey or something like that.
I saw that. That's kind of old, but I don't know what the, let's see. Let me see.
It looks like they're accepting submissions from September 1st through the 30th, and they'll announce a winner on October 5th. So you could win 250 bones, man.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that far out. I thought maybe they had started it already, but now I guess I could read. So that's
cool. Yeah, I think they started it, but I guess it's just one of those things where it's like you could submit a map anytime this month and be $250 richer, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting too. So the theme is Prey 1996, when it was worked on by Tom Hall. By the way, we got to get Tom Hall. I swim in certain circles that Tom Hall swims in, so I think I could I think I could get him. So you and I will have to schedule that for sure together.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's a pretty delightful guy. I don't know. He could be a total prick.
Well, reading about him in Masters of Doom, he seemed like the more like kind of like happy-go-lucky guy of the team, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he's I was joking because he does seem very happy-go-lucky. Doesn't even kind of begin to paint the picture I want to paint of Mr. Hall. No, I'm sure. Hopefully he'll want to come on, and we'll definitely put that on my to-do list right now.
Awesome.
One of the reasons I never wanted to rush to get him on. And same with Romero, by the way, is that I never played Daikatana. I've played a little bit of it, but I need to go back and play it. And I've started Anachronox like twice over the years, and I really want to play that game. I mean, I really want to play that entire game because the guy's personality really shines through. And I don't know if you ever played either one of those, but
no,
but yeah. Anachronox is kind of fun because that has a really deep story, really kind of crazy characters, but it's a Japanese, the style of RPG is this kind of a Japanese style RPG. So the combat's kind of like this randomized thing where they're all on the sidelines and you do the stats. And I've never really played too many games like that. So it was a little strange, but, anyway, so Tom, if you're listening, we would love to have you on the show, but I need to play Anachronox first.
You better get to it then, man.
I know. I got some work to do, man.
Yeah. And if you guys are going to submit a level to this design contest, head over to, we'll put the link in the description for the episode as well, but you want to head over to this website and get one submitted this month for your chance to win $250.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Talonbrave.info. Talonbrave.info mm-hmm. is the website, but we'll put
I'm not familiar with Talonbrave or the people behind this, but I think that's super cool that they're doing it.
If I recall correctly, that's the character you would have been in that version of the game, if I remember that, because that game was in development forever. And so Pro Magazine sample screenshots, and it's kind of one of those convoluted thing where it started in this project, then it came back and it actually came out. I believe that was the Doom 3 engine, that game. And then the most recent iteration was, who developed that one? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, but it's not coming to mind.
Is it?
I will say that Prey has always had like a really weird development cycle, like every version of Prey, like even the sequel, because you know, you had this one from 96 that never came to fruition. And then, you know, they ended up redoing it and releasing Prey in the early 2000s on Xbox 360, mm-hmm. where you played as he was the native guy who went to space, you know, and destroyed monsters and stuff. It was a pretty fun little game. But then Prey 2 just came out like a few years ago. But it had been in development for several years before that as more of an action game. And then they turned it into more of a stealth FPS type of game, you know? So, it's been a weird series. It really has.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things. Like, is the name that big of a deal? You guys, I mean, to have, you know what I'm right. saying? Like it's had this such a weird stilted kind of, it came out in 2017. God, it just doesn't seem like this came out that long ago. It's Arcane. Okay, guys, I'm sorry. You know, we start talking about things and then my brain turns off. But it's Arcane. So they, you know, Arcane was the developer on that, which is not surprising if it got great reviews. I picked it up. It was on sale with Dishonored 2, which I have not played as a pack. So I grabbed them thinking one day, you know, maybe I'll break my leg or something and get a lot of video game playing in. But I keep thinking one of these days something bad will happen and I can catch up on my video games.
I was very hot and cold on that new Prey game though. It, you know, I actually have a review for it on my channel, but the first 3 or 4 hours of it, I loved it. I was so into it. I was having a lot of fun. I was crafting, I was shooting monsters. And then after that, it kind of like changes how it works. You know, you gotta be a lot more stealthy as it goes on. And I don't know. For me, I fell off pretty hard and I didn't really enjoy it past that point.
Interesting. Yeah. It says Arcane's Prey is largely unrelated to the 2006 game Prey developed by Human Head. That's who did that one.
Yeah.
Considered reimagining of the intellectual property set in a wholly new narrative. While Prey 2, a sequel to the 2006 game, had been planned by Human Head, it fell into development hell. Yeah, that was the one that was that took forever, and then they just canceled it in 2014.
Yep, they got rid of it. But they released screenshots and everything with it. You know, every once in a while, like E3, they'd be like, here's some more, you know, Prey 2 screenshots. And you're like, oh, cool. Can't wait to see this. But I don't know if you ever got to see it in action. You never got to see video of it, which was very telling, because it's like, well, if they're not willing to show video of this game, I'm not so sure.
Well, yeah. And that's 8 years of development.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, that's insane. Yeah. So that's probably like the Doom game that they had worked on for so long at id. Same deal, you know, just kind of iteration, because basically you get that, what do they call it? The vertical slice of the game where everything works the way it's supposed to work. And you get a feel for the game, but the game doesn't exist. And then once people go to E3 and go, geez, it looks great, then they're like, let's go full steam ahead, dude. I used to go to E3 for years, and I used to get so jaded because I'd go to Ubisoft's booth, and it was just massive, huge booth. And they're playing these pre-rendered cutscenes that look like gameplay. And I know the gaming industry has done this for years, but it's something people don't realize happens. And I'm sure now it's even more seamless. And maybe they don't do that anymore. I doubt it. But
they do.
They just all pre-rendered stuff that feels like a game. And I used to feel like, and I will say, as a publisher, I always thought Ubisoft, out of all the publishers, took the most risks and the most gambles. That's not saying a whole lot, to be honest with you. But I think in general, I might have a point there. I'd be able to argue that fairly well with some, especially some of their more recent releases. But yeah, I always thought that was so sleazy and cheesy. But I guess with games costing so much money, you have to kind of follow that route, I guess. I guess there's a pretty good reason to do that.
Yeah, it's just like movies, right? There's so much money behind it that they're careful about whatever they show, because they don't want people to get the wrong idea. And, you know, it's crazy, right? You put millions and millions and millions of dollars into these games nowadays, and it's like, if it fails, it's like, poof, well, there goes the studio, right? So, yeah, it's exactly. I can understand why they would do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like this giant monster, like Frankenstein's monster, the game industry, because everybody loves games, everybody wants to do games, but it's extremely difficult to have a hit. Yeah, so you're risk averse, just like the studios. That's why most movies are just dung, in my opinion. But anyway, I'm getting down again. But
I digress. This episode is going to be a little bit more rambly, just because we haven't talked in a while, and you know, we wanted to update everybody. But
and I'm rambly, and I'm a rambly guy.
Well, you know, me too. It's just what this podcast turns into. We talk and talk, and that's what people tune in for, right? To hear our lovely voices and to hear us just ramble about things they don't care about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But yeah, guys, there's lots of Quake going on. There's a contest. There's a new VR mapping project, which it looks like no one has played yet. There's no comments on it. You know, you got how did you say it? 3 Plantagenets.
Yeah.
That's out. You got several speed map packs. Like, Quake is not dying anytime soon. It's still going strong. It's great to see that too, you know, because such a great game. We still have a ton of fun with it. And I'm glad that we're still getting so many new people in the community to create this stuff. Like that VR project, like I said, I think is all new people. So it's awesome. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, it's good times to be a Quaker. And, you know, it kind of begs the question, maybe we should kind of go out on this, but what if machine games did Quake in some way? Now, my take on it is, I don't think it's going to happen, but I could be wrong. Stranger, I mean, God, they hung on to Prey, the Prey IP, for years. So what's your take on that? Like, how do you feel about that?
So, you know, I look at it as, I know a lot of people are down on Quake Champions, but Quake Champions wasn't actually developed by Machine Games or by id Software. That was developed by the company that Tim Wellis just went to, Saber Interactive, I think.
Mm-hmm, Saber.
So, yeah, Tim, if you guys hadn't heard, Tim Wellis left id Software and went to Saber. But regardless, yeah, that was developed by them. And I thought they did a fine job on it. But, you know, there were times, you know, people were like, this, you know, this doesn't feel Quake. It's not Quake, whatever. You know, I can see where they're coming from, but I enjoyed it. But putting Quake in the hands of either the team who did Doom or the team who did Wolfenstein, I think it's going to be a win, because it's obvious that the guys at Machine Games took Wolfenstein and did something new with it. And some, in my opinion, something very fun with it, because I really, really enjoyed both Wolfenstein 1 and 2 that they put out. And could you imagine the Doom team actually, if they finish this Doom trilogy and then move on to Quake, and, you know, maybe they're working on that in the background while they're working on the Doom stuff. Maybe they have a small team kind of putting in the, you know, putting in the baby steps here for a new Quake or something. Like, I would be, I would embrace it with open arms, because I thought the new Doom was super good too. But I know a lot of people out there are not too keen on the idea of a new Quake. What do you think?
I think it really depends on the developer. And I'm always happy to see Quake as an IP out there. Even the Quake 2, Quake 4 stuff that I didn't absolutely love, you know, I like all id games. I like Rage. You know, I haven't really played a lot of Quake Champions, but I enjoyed, you know, what I played when I played it. I just wasn't completely enamored by it. And just also, it's also the time of my life. If this was like 10 years ago, I'd be playing it every night. You know, I mean, you know, just times are different for me. I'm a different audience. So if Machine Games did Quake, a reboot of the Lovecraftian Quake, first of all, I think it would be visually mind blowing. I'm sure it would be amazing. I'm not sure what they would do with the characters, because they obviously like to tell kind of, you know, stories with cutscenes and characters and all that stuff. And I'm not sure how that would go. You know, do you take Ranger and make, or Quake Guy Ranger, do you make him, do you flesh him out in a different way than they would have done in Quake Champions? I just don't know what form it would take. And as we said earlier, as you said earlier, we don't really need a reboot of Quake. You know, it's, you know, we have so much content of this game we love. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. To be honest with you, I'm more interested in seeing Wrath, Aeon of Ruin, just because, again, because of the people involved. I'm more excited about that than any notion that there's a reboot of Quake. I'll be interested in it, and I'll probably buy it and check it out, depending on what it was. But I don't know.
You got to admit, though, you super want to see what a contemporary development team's interpretation of a Shambler looks like now. Yeah. So that way everybody could bitch about it.
Exactly. No, exactly. That's the other thing. You got to get your popcorn out and look at all the outrage and everybody freaking out. And, you know, it's not furry. Everybody knows it's skin.
Shambler. I hope they make him furry, though. I hope they make him a big Yeti with a weird mouth. That's what he needs to be.
Yeah, well, didn't that one have with the one on the head that they had in Champions? Wasn't that furry or no?
I think it was, if I remember right.
I think it was furry. Yeah. Pretty sure. But yes, so I you know, that I was just curious what your take was, because I don't think any of this stuff is sacred, and just because a new version comes out doesn't mean you don't have the old one.
Totally. Yeah. You still got the old game. And I think Machine Games are the team to give it to, because not only will they pump some new life into it, which is what it needs, because to be honest, I mean, we have one game with one set of monsters and one set of levels, you know, like that's all we got. We don't have sequels made to this Lovecraftian universe of Quake. Right. So I feel like they would take it and they would probably try to combine the Lovecraft with the, you know, Strog stuff, and probably maybe do like a tag team thing where you got the Quake guy and Bitterman both together, like working together. I don't know, something like that. But I think that they would be a great team to work on. I also think, as I said, the current id Software development team they got working on Doom would also be a great pick, because what they did with Doom was super great. So,
yeah. And that game, even though it's arcade-ish and arcadey, which I love, you know, it has a lot of depth to it, or replayability, I should say. It's not a ton of depth, but there's there's a lot of replayability, and I'm really looking forward to Doom Eternal, because it looks like they're taking the design in a completely different direction. Because you're always like, there's bases and there's hell. And there's Mars, you know, and there's bases on Mars and bases, and right. So, you know, it's base and, you know, hell. And so it looks like they're taking the new, at least with character design and things like that, they're taking a new direction with these kind of angelic figures, these avenging angels, things like that. So Yeah, I think, and what you just said a few seconds ago about taking, you know, the Lovecraftian, the Strahg, and the, I can't remember who the, I should know this because Quake 3 is basically my favorite game, but the combat kind of master race in Quake 3, where they would gather all these players and bring them. I can't think of what they were called.
Oh, the arena gods or whatever.
There's a specific name. I can't remember the name right now. But anyway, if they took all those different kind of places, you know, the slip gates allow you to do that. You know, they're across space and time and dimensions and things like that. So that's kind of an interesting idea that you would meld the entire franchise kind of down together. One of my biggest disappointments was I play the hell out of it, but Quake Wars, like Enemy Territory Quake Wars.
Really? You play the hell out of that?
I really did. We had a little window of where our group of guys that would play online every Friday night, everybody kind of responded really well to it. It was, but technically it was an issue because you spent all this money on these nice video cards and new computers to play it. And it did look okay, but it didn't run very well. And so that was the problem. Even if you had the best machine, it wasn't just not optimized. It was also running at 30 frames a second. I think the frame rate was 60 and the game logic was 30. So there's like this jankiness to the entire game. And I could be getting that mixed up either way, but I just loved all the personality that game had. A lot of people who poo-poo that game may not have played it very much because the Strahg guys had all these goofy little one-liners and there's a lot of dark humor in there. a lot of fun kind of just winks and nudges and some really nice, beautiful level design. So I don't know.
Very cool. Yeah, it's the one Quake game I don't think I've ever touched. So, and I don't think, did that even have a PC release or is that even available on Steam or anything?
You can't get it on Steam any longer. And it was pretty much a, you know, big kind of big time server game early on where you had to be connected to the server even to play a local kind of LAN game. You're basically playing online. And it was early days for that stuff as far as I know. Or as far as I recall. So that was a little janky too. It's like, God, can't we just have it on the LAN? And I think they did patch LAN stuff later, if I recall, or maybe some third party did it. But yeah, that's one of those games where I don't think you could really play it. I do know that you could play the demo. I know there's a server out there where you can play the demo with people. Some hardcore people have a demo server up. So you could at least try it, but you'd need, that was the one. That's the other thing. It's a Battlefield kind of clone. So you need teams. You it's not, if you and I logged in, you would not get a feeling for that. You really needed, 6-on-6 minimum, if I recall correctly.
I think that's cool though.
It's a 24 player game. I think it was 12-on-12 ideally, but there's some really fun stuff in there. A lot of crazy stuff.
Well, awesome.
Yeah.
Well guys, that's probably going to be it for me. Believe it or not, I am already being summoned to help with the baby. So duty calls, as they say. But Dump Truck, as always, I want to thank you for being on the show and keeping the show going while I am absent. Very much appreciated.
Well, it's not the same without you, but I will do my best and we'll have some guest hosts and we'll have some. This isn't, you know, goodbye. This is just, hey, man, see you in a bit.
This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for DumpTruck_DS. We are going to talk some Quake. I was just going to say, we're kind of over-explaining that we're going to have this break, you know, because we feel guilty because of this white Anglo-Saxon Protestant guilt we've got.
I know.
isn't it? I mean, isn't it? It's like, oh, God, I feel so bad. We really have to explain this shit.
I know. I'm like, no, you don't understand. They're like, no, we get it. Like, no, we're going to be on break, but we'll be back. And everyone's like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah, we get it.
No, you don't understand.
Anyway. Hold on. My stomach, first of all,
it's happening. Another baby.
Oh, the baby's good. Yeah, did you hear my stomach? It was like,
yeah,
it's really loud. Sorry about that. Okay. My cousin Futz Hendango was the organizer. Okay. There goes my stomach again. God. What is going on with my body, dude? That'll teach me to fast.
Yes, that's what you get.
Yeah, that's what I get.